Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text 26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Ladies. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Mam unto me cha also ya a person who avyavicharena without fail bhakti yogena by devotional service sevate renders service sa hi gunan the modes of material nature samatitya transcending etan all these brahma bhuyaya elevated to the Brahman platform kalpate becomes translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who engages in full devotional service and fails in all circumstances at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Please repeat. One who engages in full devotional service and fails in all circumstances at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Purport. This verse is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining to the transcendental position? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead of putting the consciousness into such activities, he may transfer his consciousness to Krishna activities. Krishna activities are known as bhakti yoga, always acting for Krishna. This includes not only Krishna, but his different plenary expansions such as Rama and Narayan. He has the innumerable expansions. When he is engaged in the service of any of the forms of Krishna or of his plenary expansions, he is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should also note that all the forms of Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient. They possess all transcendental qualities. So, if one engages himself in the service of Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination, although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, one can overcome them easily. This has already been explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto Krishna at once surmounts the influence of the modes of material nature. To be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. The Lord says that his nature is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge, and the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme, as gold particles are part of a gold mine. Thus, the living entity in his spiritual position is as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. The difference of individuality continues. Otherwise, there would be no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that the Lord is there, the devotee is there, the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual person. Otherwise, there would be no meaning to the word bhakti yoga. If one is not situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Supreme Lord. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus the qualification is to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination. It is said in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmetyeti. One can obtain the Supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means that one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as an individual soul. Mam triyo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samititayatan brahma bhuyaya kapate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, thus comes to the level of Brahman. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya De Siddharane. The aim of life is to become happy. But we can't be happy unless we realize we're eternal. And we can't realize we're eternal unless we become free from the modes of nature. And we can't become free from the modes of nature unless we fully engage ourselves in Krishna's service. Therefore, if we want to become happy, we have to fully engage ourselves in Krishna's service. Or the more one engages oneself in Krishna's service, the more one becomes free from the modes of material nature. Just like we put an iron in fire, then gradually it becomes just like fire. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it's just like fire. Wherever we touch the iron, it will burn. Similarly, the more we engage our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, then the more they become spiritualized by contact with Krishna. And in order to do that, that's what intelligence is. Intelligence allows us to make the right decisions so that whatever we do is in Krishna's service. Intelligence allows us to discriminate between different, what is Krishna's service and what is not Krishna's service. And how to come to the platform of becoming, of doing our service with transcendental expertise. And ultimately that service has to absorb the mind in Krishna, in loving feelings towards Krishna. Because in the spiritual world, Krishna is not interested in the butter. He's not interested in the nice food he is interested. But he's interested because it's prepared with love. Krishna is only interested in love. Actually here, we're also interested in love. It's just that we're trying to love things which are not lovable. We're giving our love to things that are completely insignificant. Beginning with this body. Now we love our body because we have to love something. So now we love our body. But if we had an operation and they cut up or open our body, it wouldn't look as attractive even to us as it does when it's not cut open. We probably wouldn't feel very attracted to our body if we saw the inside of it. But out of illusion, we've fallen in love with our body. And things related to the body, we also have some attraction for. Things that make the body feel good, we say we love them. We love our cat. We love our dog. We love our wife. We love our children. We love our house. We love the car. We love our sports team. Anything that makes us feel good, we say we love it. And anything that makes the body feel bad, we hate it. But after all, the subject matter is the same. It's the material body. Love or hate in relation to the body. And obviously, there is a very limited amount of happiness we're going to get from the body. If our sports team wins, there's only a limited amount of happiness we're going to derive from it. Similarly, we can see every day we eat, although we'd like unlimited pleasure, but we don't notice anyone's sikha standing on end after prasadam. Usually the prasadam isn't that good. There's only a limited amount of happiness, but we want an ocean of happiness. We want every moment to have unlimited happiness. It's not that we eat a samosa and we've gotten our quota for happiness for the next 3 weeks. No, we're always looking for happiness. Every moment we're looking for happiness, and even if we don't find it, we keep on looking for it. Because that's our nature. We don't understand that there can be a happiness which is unlimited. We think it doesn't make any sense to us because we're used to suffering. But at least it's promised that the more we engage in Krishna's service, then the more we come in contact with Krishna and his associates, and their nature is unalloyed, uninterrupted happiness. So that takes some intelligence to understand that. And then the more we understand that, then the more we come in contact with Krishna through executing devotional service properly or expertly, then the more we feel Krishna's presence, then the more we feel transcendental pleasure. And eventually that feeling turns into love. Not only do we try to experience Krishna, but then eventually we fall in love with Krishna and we want to please Krishna. Therefore Krishna says, Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That I am the source of all the material and the spiritual worlds. So who here can say that? Honestly, One day I got up and I manifested all the material and spiritual worlds. Of course, it's ridiculous. We can't manufacture anything. Maybe a little something, but not very significant. And it's not even coming from us. But to think about how someone could manifest even one building would be quite extraordinary. What about all the buildings in Ljubljana? What about in Slovenia? All the trees and all the buildings. What about on this planet? What about in the universe? What about in the trillions of universes? What about in the spiritual world, which is unlimitedly greater than all the material universes put together? So what could that person be like? If he actually exists, and he has unlimited beauty, wouldn't we want to get at least a snapshot, a photo, what he looks like? Wouldn't that be, wouldn't we be curious, what would be an unlimitedly beautiful person look like? Would we get up in the morning to come, and if we knew that this morning Krishna is going to stand there personally on the altar, we're going to see an unlimitedly beautiful person. Most of us would get up for Mangalarti that day. At least we'd make a special effort. And if we knew he had unlimited wealth, wouldn't we want to be friendly with him? We'd even flatter him. And if we knew he knew everything, wouldn't we ask him a question? Wouldn't we be inquisitive to find out, ask him something? Our basic principles, that's who we're aiming for, Krishna, who has those qualities. And what could be better than that? If we had a choice between the Sunday feast and meeting Krishna, which would we choose? Probably the Sunday feast. But how could there be anything greater than a person who has unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, unlimited renunciation? How could there be anything greater than that? It's not possible. So that's the aim, and machita machkata prana. So again, these words are always divided into two. Kata, prana. Machita, machkata. Machita means the consciousness, intelligence. We're trying to absorb our intelligence, our awareness, and understanding Krishna. Of which the most significant part is that he's Bhagavan. Not only is Bhagavan, but he has unlimited affection and love for all his devotees. Otherwise, Krishna would be very opulent, but no one would be very attracted to him unless he had limited love and affection for his devotees. So absorbing the mind, and then prana, one's life, energy, one's energy. We can understand Krishna perfectly, but unless we're willing to engage our energies in his service, then what's the use of understanding Krishna? If we found out that there's a great treasure and it's hidden underneath the temple here, and we were just resting on the fact, well, that's nice, we have a big treasure, but we never dug it up and utilized it, it would be useless. So, katha prana, to engage one's energies and actually engage them in Krishna's service. And what's the result? Machita, machkata, prana, bodhi untouched paraj prana. So the devotees, they talk about that. That's what devotees do. They talk about how wonderful Krishna is, how great Krishna is, and how to expertly engage in serving him. How to dedicate all one's energies in his service, what he wants, and how to please him. And when the devotees engage in that service, then they experience tushanti. Tushanti means they feel some satisfaction that they're making progress. For the neophyte devotee, to make progress, to get out free from the lower modes and make progress towards the higher modes, is called tushanti. One is satisfied. Yes, I'm not there. I'm not dancing with Krishna right now, or playing with bale fruits with Krishna, or wrestling with him. I'm not even cooking for him. But I'm making progress, so therefore I have knowledge, I have faith, I have experience that one day I'll be with Krishna. And therefore one becomes more and more enlivened and satisfied that yes, there's only time separating me from actually being with Krishna again. If I simply carry on the process as I'm experiencing now some satisfaction, some freedom from the modes of nature, therefore if I carry it on further, therefore I'll become more free, more happy, more enlivened, more enlightened. My life will become closer and closer to Krishna. And Ramanti, for those who are actually with Krishna, there is nothing but transcendental pleasure. And further enlightenment. Everything becomes brighter and brighter, more and more enlivening, more and more exciting. Therefore, when one experiences that, tesham sattam yuktanam, bhajantam priti purvakam, didami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam upiyantite. The more one is, tesham sadatam. With our intelligence, we learn the art of remaining engaged in Krishna's service. And, tesham sadatam bhajantam priti purvakam. And our enthusiasm, our affection, our higher taste in Krishna consciousness, the mind is absorbed in experiencing ever greater enlightenment and happiness in relation with Krishna. Therefore, one desires to make advancement, becoming more and more steady and more enlivened in Krishna's service. Therefore, didami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna helps by giving the enlightenment, the intelligence, how to become more and more steadily engaged and more enthusiastic to serve Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone there is expert and becoming more expert. It's not you go there, I already got my unalloyed devotion card, and I just go there and every day do the same thing. Get up, cook for Krishna, take prasadam, go back to sleep, get up, cook for Krishna. It's just like, and every day I make the same thing. Ladus, 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 ladus. There's nothing to learn. I'm expert. I'm already there. I'm in the spiritual world. I've made it. I'm retiring. I just do my service and keep quiet. No, everyone is learning things there also. Rati Manjari is eternally serving Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. But she's also learning from Srimati Radharani how to play the veena. Because Srimati Radharani, she's most expert at playing the veena. So Srimati Radharani is teaching Rati Manjari eternally how to get better at playing the veena. So when Radha and Krishna have their pastimes, Rati Manjari can sing to them. But she's not as expert at playing the veena. Although she's been doing it eternally and learning from Srimati Radharani, I'm sure she's quite expert. But she's better at other things, like stringing beads and garlands and things like that. But she's still learning from Srimati Radharani, who has unlimited expertise in that particular field. Therefore, there's no limit. And when Krishna hears the songs sung by Rati Manjari, he becomes overwhelmed with ecstasy and embraces little Rati Manjari. So this, everything is new and fresh in the spiritual world. No one thinks I'm already there. I've made it to the spiritual world. I learned everything. I'm perfect in whatever I do. Even in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani sometimes makes apparent mistakes. Because otherwise it would be very boring to be in the spiritual world. You know, I get up, I do everything perfectly. Everything goes exactly on time, exactly as we want. You know, dance at 6 o'clock, I'm right there at 6 o'clock. Prasadam's at 8 o'clock. Where's the prasadam? Things don't always even go according to plan there, apparently. Because otherwise it would be quite boring. Everything was, you know, we know exactly what's going to go on. Jatila's going to be here at 6. No, sometimes they make mistakes and it's always unexpected. No one, although everything is going on by yoga maya, no one's in anxiety that really, I mean, they are in anxiety. They're in anxiety about Krishna though. Therefore, even when they're anxiety, they're blissful. In any case, here, we have no excuse not to try to improve our devotional service. Because certainly no one here is going to think no one here who's sane will think their devotional service is perfect already. But the more steady, the more enthusiastic, and enthusiastic was defined in different ways. We try to be enthusiastic, but that's generally, it's given to us, the enthusiasm. But how to become enthusiastic? Tatcharadana munaya. That's not right. Shushusho sharadanasya vasudeva katha ruchi. How do we get this katha ruchi, this taste for hearing about Krishna? Su means nice. And shushusho means to hear, but hear with the attitude of actually applying it within our lives. When Rati Manjari hears Srimati Radharani, she already has all these songs composed for different pastimes with Krishna. And she teaches them to Rati Manjari, to sing. And Srimati Radharani just has to sing them once, and Rati Manjari can perfectly duplicate them. Exactly in the same mood and the same intonation as Srimati Radharani, because she pays attention. And she's anxious to do it. She wants to do it. She's enthusiastic to serve in that way. And therefore, as soon as she hears it, she practically becomes that song. To become enthusiastic to serve Krishna so that tesham sattam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam. So, to render service. Not only to hear about Krishna and how to become expert, to actually try to apply it. Experiment. We may not get it right the first time. But we should be interested in getting something from the lecture, something from what we're hearing, and then apply it within our lives. Not that the lecture's over and says, how was the lecture? Oh, it was great. What did you learn? I don't remember. What was it about? I don't know. Which book did they read? I can't remember. It was a good lecture. Told a couple of jokes. I laughed. Honey fell asleep for 20 minutes during lecture. It must have been exciting. No, we have to take away something with us and apply it. That's why things like book distribution are quite good, because they, practically speaking, you learn a few lines or something. You know, here, take the book. You know, I'm a monk. You know what a monk is. I'm not a punk. I'm not a skunk. I'm a monk. To learn some lines and then apply it. We have something to apply and see what the result is. And when the result is successful, when we get some result, we become enthusiastic. Well, that was great. That worked. And then we try again. We want to learn more because the result is good. So So that's how we make progress. We learn theoretically something, and then we apply it. Apply it for what? How to become more steady in our service, and how to become more enthusiastic. And what is enthusiastic based on? Shraddhanasya. Sad means the heart. So we put it into our heart. What do we put in our heart? How to do our service with more care and attention. Care means we try to do it very nicely, and attention means we try not to deviate, become distracted. We try to be more steady. So we do it very nicely, carefully to please Krishna, and we do it steadily without distraction. Or Prabhupada says, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. So we focus attention, use our intelligence, how to remain fixed in our service, and then we, with our feeling, we try to do it very nicely. We try to make the arrangements the way we think Krishna will be pleased, because we want to please him. Then Kataruchi, Krishna reveals himself to Dami Buddha Yogam Tam. He gives us the intelligence, he enlightens us from within, and we actually can experience Krishna in our service and hearing about Krishna. Krishna becomes revealed to us, or he reveals himself. Although we cannot force Krishna to reveal himself, but if we follow the process, then Krishna willingly reveals himself. Jnane priyasam nupastanamanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavidya vartam stane stita shudigatam tanuvangmanovir ye priyasa jitab jitos yaisasitais trilokyam. Ramananda Roy mentioned to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, so many different ways of making spiritual advancement. Understanding Brahman through the process of renunciation and cultivation of knowledge, following Varna and Ashram, etc. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that these are all external. They won't be very much helpful in Kali Yuga. They don't lead to enlightenment very easily. But then Ramananda Roy said, Jnane priyasam nupastanamanta eva. Take our present understanding of reality and put it far aside. This tendency to speculate. Actually, our whole life, material existence, is one speculation. Because what we think is going on is actually not going on. It's all our mental concoction. The drama we've created, or the material modes of nature, are telling us is being enacted in the material world. Actually, the material world is very simple. Everyone wants to become God here. And since no one becomes God, everyone is frustrated and angry. So we're hankering to become God, and we're frustrated at the fact that we can't become God. And that's material existence on every level. But spiritual existence is available if we actually take to the process. But we have to put aside our present misconceptions. Jnane priyasa udapasta namanta eva, and become submissive to jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam, to the words coming down to us through the simple succession. The vision, the experience of the great devotees. And stane sita, it's not necessary to change our position. Everyone, in the material world, people are thinking, if I can change from this position to that position, then that will make life easier. Now I'm a brahmachari. If I become a grihastha, then someone will do my laundry, and that problem will be solved, and I'll be very happy. I'll get whatever I want to eat. I'll tell my wife to cook, and she'll do the laundry, and my life will be perfect. And then when one becomes a grihastha, well, it's too hard to maintain the family. If only I could actually take vanaprastha, I may not get whatever I want every day to eat, but at least I won't have to work 8 hours a day to maintain my family. And then one becomes a vanaprastha, and one thinks, it's so boring being a vanaprastha. If I can only travel a little bit more. Tell everyone how all my realizations. And then one becomes a sannyasi. One thinks, if only I could settle down, becoming, you know, like when I was a grihastha. I'm traveling all the time and people don't listen to me anyhow. I'm just wasting my time. Besides that, so one is thinking, stanesi ta, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Brahma was advising, whatever the position is, just be, try to accept it, tolerate the good and the bad. Stane, Sita, Shuti, Gautam, and try to spend some time hearing about Krishna. And then, according to what one has heard, Tanva no bira, Tan, the body, Mano, the mind, and the, Tanvanomanovira, the intelligence. Engage them in Krishna service. And Stane Sita Shuddhi Katam Tanmanovira Ye Priyasa. And although it is very difficult to conquer Krishna because he's unlimited, Ye Priyasa Jita Jitopi Piyasyas Trilokyam, then Krishna is unconquerable within the three worlds, become conquered by one who's trying to do a little something to please him. Whatever we can do is always going to be very insignificant. Even if one is ruling over a universe of Krishna, it's still Krishna has billions of universes. He's not impressed. So what to speak of our insignificant selves? What can we actually do? You know, when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't notice Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rolling on the floor here. But he's pleased, we're trying to please him. And then our life becomes successful. Krishna is so grateful, even for a little service, that he becomes conquered by the devotee, who's even trying to render him some comparatively insignificant service, because Krishna is so appreciative of his devotees. The conclusion is, devotional service, the opportunity to render it, is so auspicious, but it's even more auspicious the more steadily, the more we use our intelligence, apply it within our service to remain steady. Not necessarily just to become more expert at the service, but we try to increase our expertise to please Krishna more, not so I become famous. Now I'm distributing so many books a day, and now my name is on the top of the newsletter. Last week I was number 300. This week I'm number 295. I'm making progress. And one day I'll be known as the Maharati in the Sankirtan movement. No, that's nice, but it should be done to please Krishna, not to get name and fame and whatever else. Now I've become, before I was just a brahmachari, now I'm temple commander. Soon I'll become temple general. I'm making progress. Now whenever people see me, they salute me. No, we always remain dasa, dasa, anudasa, the servant of the servant, but we do try to become more expert because in the spiritual world, the devotees are trying to become more expert in their service to please Krishna. Rati Manjari is not trying to, you know, become more famous. You know, yesterday they had a contest between me and Rupa Manjari, who is more famous, but now that Srimati Radharani has taught me the song, now I'm going to play it and I'm going to become number one. Top of the Pops in Goloka Vrindavan. No, it's only to please Krishna that anyone does anything there. So here also, whatever we do, we become more expert, it should be to please Krishna. And at the same time, we have to do our activities more steadily and more enthusiastically to please Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
During the verse of the readings, uninterrupted devotional service, what does that mean?
Means we're not a little for Krishna and a little for me. Generally speaking, what happens is that we perform devotional service, we don't get the result we're looking for, and we become distracted or discouraged. And then we start looking around. Maybe there's something else here in the material world I forgot about that I'm missing. And maybe I should get that. And when I'm satisfied with my material experience, then I'll come back and do more service to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, "Dhyayate visheyam pumsam." Generally, if we're not planning to serve Krishna, then we'll look around and make plans to serve our senses. So unless Krishna is present in our consciousness, then Maya will be present in our consciousness. So as soon as we forget Krishna, then we're in Maya. That's what it means. It's not that yesterday I chanted 300 rounds, therefore today I don't have to chant because I become so fired up in Krishna consciousness, I don't even need Krishna anymore. Yes.
I have another question. You said that Krishna loves variety and it's, we shouldn't be only making loves every day. We should explore and learn and enhance our service to please Him. I listened this morning's lecture on the internet as you were speaking about dancing. And you said that we're only supposed to dance the way that our child follows, not to connect in some way or something. I didn't quite understand. And I was wondering, is Krishna not pleased if we connect to other devotees in dancing? Or?
Yeah, but it should be for Krishna, to please Him. Okay. The Rasa dance, the gopis dance with Krishna, but they dance following Krishna's directions. You know, it's not like, you know, Krishna's trying to dance and the gopi goes, ah! No, they try to please Krishna. They dance following Krishna's directions, as Krishna likes. So we're supposed to find out what Krishna likes. Now that we just try anything we want, you know, and then, you know, we hope Krishna likes it because I like it. I'm having a great time. What do you think, Krishna? You'd like? Want to join with us? No, we first find out what Krishna likes, and then we do it. Besides that variety in the spiritual world, doesn't mean that they do something different. Because every time they do something more to please Krishna, then it's always new and fresh. When the gopis milk the cows or the cowherd boys milk the cows, it's not that they, you know, it's the same old cow, the same old udder, we gotta figure out a new way of doing it. Let's hook up an electric milker. Try something new. Make some progress down here. Hook up the milkers and we'll go and dance, the Rasa dance. No, it's always new and fresh there. It's the growing feelings of love which are actually the source of freshness. Not just a new way of milking the cow. Because Srimati Radharani, it says every day she cooks for Krishna and it's always new preparations. But that inspiration is inspired by love to please Krishna. And she cooks in such a way that Krishna is pleased. And Krishna has certain things that he likes. Like she makes laddus because Krishna likes her laddus. But she doesn't decide, let's make, you know, a chocolate milkshake today. Krishna doesn't eat chocolate. I mean, maybe he does, but... but she's famous for her laddus, eternally. Similarly, we read what Krishna likes. Sandesh, Raskul, Burfi, rubbery, sweet rice. That's what Krishna eats. He doesn't eat Breyer's ice cream. Not in the spiritual world, at least. Yeah, Shrikant. And then we find out that Raghava Pandit and his sister, what was Raghava Pandit's sister's name? Damayanti. Damayanti, they make the Raghava Jali preparation, make the preparations for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, made from ganges and from ginger and different kinds of spices. And she make them and put them in a bag and it would be brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year from Mayapur. And he'd eat the preparations every year, for the whole year. And all the different preparations are there. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes. So Krishna also is a person. He has certain likes and dislikes. So Damayanti, she made them, but she didn't think, well, let's be creative. Let's put some other preparations in there. See if... No, she knew what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished, and she made that every year. Yes?
I was wondering, now this devotees also follow some Ayurveda and get different diets and, you know, you should meet this and that, and how to actually follow the standard of healthy lifestyle and still please Krishna with rasgullas, and do you like cook separately for Krishna and also offer just some like khichdi, you know, what your family would eat, or how to, or you just also put Krishna on the diet?
Well, it depends if you're serving in the temple, Krishna, we don't put Krishna on a diet in the temple. If you're cooking at home, Krishna's part of the family. So he may have to go on a diet when he's there. But you can blame it on him. He came as Dhanvantari. He introduced the whole Ayurvedic. He's the one who's behind the whole thing. So he's getting what he deserves. But we're going on the diet because we want to please Krishna so we can do better service for him. So that way he doesn't mind. He's getting a better prasadam than he got from Sanatana Goswami. who's only offering him one dry roti every day. So he's doing better at our house. He shouldn't complain. At least we're giving him a little salt. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Haribol.